Now what the Holy Spirit, whom Christ promised, that he would explain all the things that Christ had taught, what he added, and this is precious. It is not only or necessarily that one sells all he or she has and gives it away, and then, well, and then, what do you do? People must live. There must be means of support. The addition, better. The development of doctrine from Matthew, recording Christ's prescription to the rich young man, and the description here in Acts, is that having sold all their goods and possessions, then they formed a community and shared out the proceeds as each one needed, so that you might say the essence of this poverty, religious poverty, is not destitution. Otherwise, not only the individual who gave everything away couldn't survive, but less still could the community, right? It is that having sold their goods and possessions, they shared out the proceeds of what they sold among themselves. And the point is, as each one needed, not of course, necessarily, as each one wanted, which I keep reminding superiors to distinguish between people's wants and needs. Generally speaking, people's wants exceed their needs. Luke goes on to inform us that that pristine community, which for all times remains the paradigm of all community, they met together periodically, but they went as a body to the temple every day. Scholars tell us that was an unheard of phenomenon. Every day and together. So they prayed together. They worked together. And they walked together. A good religious likes to be with other members of the community. We are told they met together and they shared their food gladly and generously. How that needs to be said, having eaten by now some thousands of meals with my fellow religious. Even after years in community living, to share one's food. Now, this is not a trifle. Gladly. You know what that means. Somebody took the piece of fruit or the piece of meat that I wanted. That's what it means. Generously. So that By the time it comes to me, I forget how many of you sit at table. We usually have been sitting six to a table. Now the sixth person gets the biggest piece. That's a good proof of sound religious life. Then you've got a good community. When the first one takes the smallest and the last one gets the biggest and the best. Makes sense, doesn't it? All these high-sounding theological speculation, all these big polysyllabic words, all these quotations from John of the Cross, all those beautiful passages from the Scriptures, to the contrary notwithstanding, we are living a good community life when, among other things, we share our food gladly and generously. What follows is no surprise. We are then told by Luke they were admired by everyone. Now the word admire has a cheap connotation in English. It of course comes from the Latin mirari, which means to wonder, and admirari means a strong wonderment. We don't have the verb in this context, but you might say they astonished everybody. People couldn't believe it. Now why? Well, for all the things they were doing together. One of the surest marks of the Holy Spirit is that we shed our selfishness and take on the desire to give and to share. We are told by Luke that they praised God. Who praised God? These early Christians. Now that may sound either strange or prosaic. It's neither. Why do they praise God? Because they knew full well that what they were doing could not have come from their own powers. In fact, the contrast between what they had been and what they suddenly became must have been so obvious to them. Naturally, they would praise, watch it, they would praise God rather than themselves, giving Him credit rather than either themselves or even one another, praising God for what they were and were doing. One final observation before my synthesis of this meditation. The overall result was a foregone conclusion. As a matter of fact, if the result had not followed, we wouldn't be here, because what we are talking about is the origins of the church. So Luke says, day by day, God added to their community those who were also called by Him to be saved, which in Luke's language means to be sanctified. God calls others to holiness through us if we are holy. Holiness produces holiness. Goodness reproduces itself. The chaos in religious life in countries like the United States, the drop in vocations among women religious in America in the last 7 years, 87%. It's getting less, to 100 less than 10 years ago. And that 1 in 10, which it used to be, is going only to communities that are living out this kind of life. And as I don't hesitate saying, in direct proportion. You live this kind of community life, and God will bless you with those whom He will call to follow your example. Those who don't do this will die out. Now a sort of capsulization of all that we have seen, because we've touched on much. It is well, I think, as we close this meditation, to tell ourselves that the Holy Spirit sent by Christ produces two principal effects in those in whom He dwells. And I would add, in the degree to which He dwells in them. The first effect is on the individual, enabling the person, thanks to the Spirit within him, to conform him or herself to the divine will, in total self-giving to God. Sacred writers call this, St. Bernard, I believe, coined the distinction. We call this affective union with God. That's the first and fundamental fruit of the Spirit in the soul that receives Him willingly. But the second fruit grows from the first. This is not quite for the individual himself, but rather through the individual to the creation of a community. This is called effective union, because where the first is the individual's union with God in the depths of his heart, the second is the effective way, the effective way in which that affective union is to be mainly practiced. meaning all that we have seen, the desire to live with others, to work with others, to share with others. Let's admit it. To put up with others, of course, it is totally mutual. And the more people in our lives we find that we've got to put up with, chalk that up as so many evidences of the fact that there are at least that many people who have to put up with you. How this bears to be underlined and encircled, because it's strange, after all that we have heard about this, how misled we can be, of course, by the contrary spirit, who is the spirit of disharmony, of disunity, of disorder. That the principal way we show our internal love for God is by living with and loving others. And this is not a passage from some social scientist. It is the teaching of the Savior, who, when he predicted the coming of the Spirit, this is the balance, John and Luke should be seen as complementing one another. In John, the long homily at the Last Supper, Christ promised the Spirit. And what did he tell his followers to do? To love one another, the reciprocity of communal living, even as I have been loving you. And interwoven with his insistence on mutual, reciprocal, communal love, intertwined through all of those insistences by Christ, is Christ description of the union that obtains in the Trinity, where the binding power between Father and Son is the self-same Holy Spirit, who having, this is human language, not formed, because that community is eternal, being the reason for the eternal community, which is the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is. That's the love that unites the three persons in sharing the totality of their divine nature. Mystery beyond comprehension. But what should not be beyond comprehension is that that same Spirit dwelling in our souls should, provided we cooperate, effect a comparable unity among ourselves, where we too share totally, not excluding. How this bears to be stressed. Not excluding our thoughts, our feelings, so that we share our hearts. one last word. And of course, the sacramental means by which this kind of unity in community, patterned on the Trinity, is made possible is the daily reception of that Christ, who to make this unity possible died for us on the cross. Well, as we all know, this in large measure is also our daily cross. Please God, what we've shared together, we will also be able to, with God's grace, to put into effective practice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.